opinions of shows on
This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State. Currently, it is 48 degrees outside, going to get up to 54. Right now, we're going to be listening to a playback of the Positively Healthy Show from May 2nd. Enjoy.
Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome, this is Dr. Maria Salas, and you are listening to the Positively Healthy Show today. Thanks so much for joining us. We are on every Saturday from 10 to 11 on KCNR, and we are opening up the chat room today, as it is always open, and the phone lines, if you have a question today, are 605-4567. Again, that's 605-4567. If you're in the chat room, we'll go ahead and get to you as soon as we can. Savannah is covering the boards today, so she'll help me out with that. Hello, Savannah. Finding my
hello.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. It's going to be a good show.
I'm glad to hear about it.
So, yeah, you get to kind of learn about all the different things going on during all the shows, huh? Yeah, that's good. Okay, so I've got a full studio here. I'm just going to get started right away. We have Neil Shaw in the studio.
Hi.
Ruben Garcia in the studio, and Mark Dadigan. Thanks for joining us. I'm like surrounded by a bunch of handsome guys today. Awesome.
It's a given.
Yeah, total given, huh?
Yeah.
So we are talking about, Mark Dadigan is here with me. Do you want to give us your title and where you work?
I am a community education specialist at Shasta County Health and Human Services Agency, and I coordinate the Brave Faces and Voices project, which Neil is a presenter in that project, and it's all about educating people about mental health challenges and reducing stigma and shame associated with them and encouraging people to get help that can help them live the productive lives they want to live.
Very, very important. And so today we're here because you do have an event coming up I'm actually a part of. Did you want to talk about Mind Matters right now?
Well, we have, every year we have our Minds Matter Mental Health Resource Fair. The theme this year is Strive to Thrive, and we'll have about 40 different exhibitors out there May 14th from 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the downtown atrium in the Market Street Promenade.
That's for everybody to show up to, right? Everyone in the community.
It's open to everyone. It's free. We'll have some art displays as well as a dance performance at noon by the Thundering Moccasins Powwow Dance Troupe.
Cool.
And there's a lot of interesting exhibitors out there with information about mental health services and wellness services. And
kind of like me, right?
Exactly.
Chiropractic's going to be there, and it's fun. We were there last year. Doing chair massage on people, really short little 5-minute, 10-minute chair massages. So come on down, get your free chair massage, and we're going to talk about the chiropractic story. We're going to talk about how that can help with stress and help increase endorphins and really help with getting through situations like this.
Totally.
Yeah. You excited about that? Are you going to get a chair massage, Mark?
If I have time. Usually I'm running around
trying
to be the organizer guy. But it's always a really fun day, and this year we have probably the most diverse group of exhibitors we've ever had.
You just keep getting bigger and bigger, don't
you? Yeah.
Because last year you were kind of still, everybody was still in the atrium. Now you're totally spilled out to the outside, right?
Yep, and we just have a lot more fun stuff, too. You know, prescription pets are going to be out there with their little puppies, and we'll have some different art therapy groups, and it's going to be a ton of fun, I think.
Very cool. Okay, so, again, Minds Matter. It's the 8th annual Minds Matter, and it's Thursday, May 14th, 11 to 2:30. Sort of middle of the day, go ahead and come down, get your lunch in the area, and come by, check out all the booths. Admission is free. That's a big deal. And there's just a lot going on. Take advantage of it. So when we come back, we're going to talk more with Neil Shaw and Ruben Garcia about many things. We're going to talk about PTSD today. We're going to talk about personal experiences and so much more. So this is the Positively Healthy Show. I want you to come on back. And please, if you do have a call, 605-4567. Come on back. Hi.
Take your passion.
Hi, Linda Bott here from KCNR.
And Nathan Parmalee from Reading's own Civic Auditorium.
The Reading Civic is bringing the excitement to its newly updated theater. The 2015-2016 season promises to wow you and include a 15% savings option when you purchase tickets to three or more shows.
So start your holiday season with the exquisite artistry of Moscow Ballet's Great Russian Nutcracker. Enjoy heartfelt Christmas classics with the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas Show, and take in the stunning debut of the Civic's very own production of Christmas Carol, A Love Story.
2016 kicks off with the pop culture phenomenon of Flashdance the Musical.
The devilishly funny production of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters.
The wildly theatrical show Blue Man Group. And the fun family experience of Chris Perandi's Stunt Dog Experience.
For tickets and more, visit ReadingCivic.com or the Reading Civic box office.
See you at the show.
It's Dandelion's first Christmas in their new home. So join the ladies at 1322 Pine Street. Enjoy the 17 themed trees, where you will find exciting brands like Brighton, Alex and Ani, beautiful sweaters, and delicious candles with scents like pumpkin spice and cinnamon cider. Have your sweetheart fill out a wish list to make your shopping easier, or have one of the many wonderful ladies help you with that special gift. It's Dandelion Unique Gifts and Clothing at 1322 Pine Street in beautiful downtown Reading.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
We are on. This is the Positively Healthy Show, and I don't know if you can hear all the giggles in the background, but we're having fun today. Yes, I said giggles, even though it's a room full of guys.
That's a clown that I'm really freaked out by. I don't want giggles.
This is Neil Shaw on the mic right now.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for letting me in the place.
Yes. I don't know if that's going to be a second
time. With the restraining order and everything. I really appreciate that.
What do you want to talk about today, Neil?
I want to talk about, I'll talk about PTSD today.
Okay. Keep it clean, buddy.
Keep it clean. Law enforcement PTSD. I will not go into my childhood. I mean, that goes way back.
Oh, I will.
No, I won't go into that. I know. Let's see. Come from a law enforcement family.
Mm-hmm.
And started law enforcement way, way young. And, was an explorer, then a reserve, then a full, that's a part-time cop. Then I went full-time, did about 25 years in law enforcement or quasi-law enforcement. You know, started off as an explorer, then I was a humane officer, animal cop before it was cool, and then went on to full-time law enforcement.
Oh, it's totally cool now.
Yeah, now it's like, oh, animal cop. Back then, it's like, you're a dog catcher.
Look at, wearing my shirt.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah. And so I've been attacked by just about every animal that I can imagine.
Oh,
it was Monterey County, so we had, that was a pretty cool job, and been chased by seals and sea lions, and...
Well, they're basically like
you know,
dogs,
it's a great
right?
way to lose weight. It really is, And so anyway, after about 25 years of law enforcement, I realized I wasn't the same person anymore. I'm like, hey, what happened?
And so it was after 25 years?
It was during that time sometime. Okay. I can look back now and realize that there were some issues I was having with symptomology of PTSD varies. It's a long list if you Google it. It's a long list, and anybody with it may have some or many of the symptoms, depending on the variances. And so I just recall having, I used to have night sweats. I used to have arrhythmia, a lot of eustas, major.
Which is good. I like to hear that.
Yeah, well, that comes with the treatment. Nightmares. Isolate yourself. You feel isolated from the public. It's a form of depression. Anger issues, quick temper, heightened startle reflex, walking the dog at 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning, and a sprinkler pops on across the street, mm-hmm. and you jump out of your skin.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what any of that stuff was. So back in 2004, I went to a therapist. You know, I had a DA investigator by the name of James Brown, not the godfather of soul, unfortunately,
got
but
it.
Just as cool.
Okay.
And this guy sees me gassing up my patrol car, and I'm sitting there, and I don't know what I said to him. He comes up to shoot the breeze with me, and he's ex-LAPD, so mm-hmm. he'd seen a lot. And I don't know what I said to him, but he goes, you know, you might want to see somebody about this. About what?
Was it what you said to him? Or
I don't know. Something
some
I said.
Behavior.
I think I was just being my usual grumbly self at the end of the shift.
Oh, got it.
And
uh-huh.
I just you're just negative. And, uh-huh. and he hands me a card to a therapist. And he says, you might want to talk to this person. And I go, all right, well, I didn't get upset. I said, okay, sure. So I started to think about it. I put the card away. I kept it. And then about, I don't know, 3 months, 4 months later, I visited this. She's a police shrink, you know, therapist. And I fill out a bunch of forms in the lobby before I started the session. A lot of the questions I was answering yes to is checking yes boxes. Have you ever experienced this, this, this? Have you ever been, how many dead bodies have you seen? And this sort of thing. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is not looking good. So after the first hour session, after she talked to me in person, she said, well, I think you have PTSD. And I just immediately I said, that's impossible. Well, why is that impossible? I says, well, because I wear protection. And she says, she just cups her face. She's not STDs. PTSD. Oh, thank God. You know, so anyway, that's just, well.
I like
anyway.
It. It's okay.
I thought it was funny.
It's so funny.
Yeah. Just because I think it's funny doesn't mean it is. And so it started a journey. To use a cliche, it started a journey of healing. You know, I mean, I had to get straight with it. And mm-hmm. so it took, for me, I mean, off and on, it took me a few years to, I eventually retired, you know, from PTSD. Law enforcement has these days, if you watch the news, it's not easy. And so part of the PTSD, a lot of it has to do with lack of public support.
You said something interesting, too, in the green room. You see your fellow buddies in law enforcement. Right now, going through what?
Let me tell you something. I'm watching my Facebook, and I have colleagues that now have their children graduating from police academies.
Okay.
And my first thought is, why do you want to do this to
mm-hmm.
yourself?
Mm-hmm.
But my second thought is, thank God you're still here. You know, it makes me real proud.
Thank God that people still want to serve.
You know, when people like bag on young kids today, and these kids today don't understand. Let me tell you something. The kids that are joining the military and in our police departments, in the face of what's going on in mm-hmm. our country and abroad, I am so proud of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't even tell you. It makes me look like a total wuss. When I graduated the academy, it was in, you know, like 84, not a whole lot was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And now with all that's going on and the turmoil that's going on both here and abroad, tell you what, I'm pretty proud of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what does it feel like to see all that stuff going on TV?
It's hard not to take it personal.
Yeah.
If you can imagine working, if you watch the news and listen to some of the media, you will, and I'm not trying to politicize this, it crosses all political lines and racial lines for that matter.
Sure.
Let me tell you something. When I worked with some of the best people, and I'm talking about people at Monterey County Sheriff's Department, and there's some of them are still there, many of them are. One of my trainees is now the sheriff. It's awesome.
Wow.
I mean, proud papa, man. Mm-hmm. And I like to say I had everything to do with it, but,
yeah.
You know, come on. It's a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
He just got elected. Anyway, imagine doing a good job, imagine working with some of the best people, not having witnessed any sort of racial oppression in my circles, then imagine Rodney King being beaten and having the outrage that many others had, almost just about everybody, having the same outrage, going back to work and being basically accused of being a racist.
Mm-hmm.
And people are not looking beyond the uniform. They're not really caring to ask, like, hey, what do you think about this? Oh, yeah, you know what I think about this? I think it's BS.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, they thumped on this guy. I came out of my chair as soon as I saw that footage.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you know when it's done. You know when law enforcement's done right and when it's done wrong. Now, with regard to the latest stuff, I really wish people would just really think for themselves. I'm not going to take one side or another, think whatever, but think for yourself.
That would be great.
Could I say
yes,
one point?
Of course,
Mark. You know, it's been very educational for me to work with Neil and really have a better understanding of law enforcement and the perspectives. And I think one issue, you know, what we're doing with our project is we're trying to give people more positive depictions of people dealing with mental health issues. And I think the same can be is needed for law enforcement, where we don't really talk about law enforcement unless there is this awful controversy or
turmoil. I would include law enforcement, all first responders.
And all first responders. We don't give enough attention to when officers do something above and beyond the call of duty or just the good they do on an everyday basis is often overlooked, I think.
So thank you for your service.
You
didn't
ask me a donut question, aren't you?
I want to so bad.
I love donuts.
It just looked like you didn't have breakfast.
I had a special holster, you know, those black basket weave. It looked like there was one of those CPR masks in it. Oh, hell no.
It was for donuts.
It was a donut.
Okay. So we got to cut to commercial. On the flip side, we're going to talk some more. It's going to be fun. Positively Healthy. Come on back.
A pretty girl can make young men look foolish. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. We had just repaired Julia's car, and she said, "I don't know anything about cars. Could a friend inspect it for me?" About that time, three young men arrived. Of course, their individual goal was to impress her by finding something wrong with the repair. The first guy said, "There is a blemish in the fender. This is not acceptable." "Yes, I see," I said. The second said, "The quarter panel is wavy. This also is not acceptable." "Yes," I agreed. The third scolded me. "If you look closely, you will see this door is perfect. This door should be the standard for the entire vehicle." I agreed, and they were surprised. We walked back to the waiting room. Julia smiled at us. I said, "Well, we looked it all over, and we all agreed. The door we repaired is perfect. Right, guys?" Yes, someone replied. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
During the holiday season at Wellgate Sports Club, we want to give you the gift of health and fitness. Hi, I'm Rich Novelli, President and COO of Wellgate Sports Club. For a limited time, we are offering no dupes until 2016. So call today at 768-1205 for your personal tour. At Wellgate Sports Club, you will experience exceptional every day. At Wellgate Sports Club, we wish all of you a happy and healthy holiday season.
It's that time of year again. Cooler weather, fun-filled festivities, warming up by the fireplace, and family get-togethers. Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society wishing you happy holidays. As we go into the holidays this year, our goal is to find 300 forever homes for our homeless animals. What could be better than adding a new furry family member during the holidays? We have many wonderful dogs and cats looking for a home this holiday season. Please come by Haven Humane Society off 273 or visit our website at havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow all of the animals both available for adoption and adopted. For more information, call 241-1653. And from all of us at Haven, we wish you a happy holiday.
Welcome back. This is the Positively Healthy Show. I have a suicide loss support group in front of me that I wanted to share with you that meets every Thursday, the second and the fourth Thursdays of every month. They start at 5:30 and they are at the Lotus Center. If you would like to give Marsha a call, that's 440-6033. That's 440-6033. Again, if you have lost a loved one to suicide, they invite you to join for free. It's a non-therapeutic support group, and they're at this peer-led group, you will find information, inspiration, and acceptance. That's the second and the fourth Thursdays of the month, starting at 5:30. Okay. Thank you for that, Marcia, or Marcia.
Marcia,
okay. Again, this is a Positively Healthy Show. This is Dr. Maria Salas. In studio today, I have Mark Dadigan with me, and we are talking about so many things. Minds Matter, I've got Neil Shaw telling me some very interesting information. We're going to keep going. But also in studio today, I have Sergeant First Class Ruben Garcia, U.S. Army. Welcome to the show. Well,
thank you for having me.
Yeah, so you have the weekends off. That's cool.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, so what's going on this weekend, buddy?
Nothing much. Today's my daughter's birthday, so after this we'll be celebrating. And
you came on your daughter's birthday?
That's so sweet.
Yeah. Thank you so much. How old is she?
She's 7.
Aw, okay. Well, happy birthday to your daughter.
Thank you.
And so what did you want to talk about today, Ruben?
Well, I guess I could just introduce myself.
Yeah.
I'm a recruiter here in Redding, California for the next few months. I'm actually heading into Kentucky soon. But a little bit, I guess, about me. I've been in the Army for 19 years as of last month. I used to be in 19 Delta, which was a cavalry scout. We were the, I guess the definition could be the eyes and ears for the commander. We're the ones that go out there in front of everybody. And the infantry will probably give me crap about that, but
yeah.
We actually are in front of them, and we're the ones that tell them what's going on the battlefield. You know where the enemy is and whatnot.
Well, you said scout, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly. That's what scout is.
That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 2 deployments under my belt, one to Baghdad and another to Ramadi, and actually I think Baghdad was. Well, obviously, any kind of deployment. But the first one's always going to be the eye-opener. You know, everybody's excited to go and, you know.
Can I ask how old you were?
Oh, goodness. Gosh, it was so long ago. In my late 20s, early 30s.
Okay.
Early 30s, yeah.
Which is kind of late, right, for what people. Is that older age? Or?
For the most part, yeah.
Okay.
And like Neil was saying, you know, it's real surprising to see, you know, all these you know, young adults coming in, joining right now, and the time that we're going through and everything that's going on overseas. And I can only imagine, you know, being that young and having to, you know, be deployed and see those kind of things that you know, most likely will be seen. It's like, wow, you know. And I think that's why the big push is, you know, going towards, you know, the resiliency training that we're going through now.
Ooh, tell us about that. Or can you know, whatever you can talk about.
It's just basically, you know, obviously dealing with resiliency, you know, getting the definition out there of what it is and how it's going to help soldiers nowadays, you know, bouncing back from adversity and stuff like that. It's just more awareness now than there was before.
So you have a special trainer that comes through to talk about all of this to prospective soldiers?
Right.
Okay.
And it's usually a group forum. You know, we come back from deployment, and we have to go through reintegration just to, you know, make sure everybody's doing fine. There's no issues that are lying there that nobody's really paying attention to. So it's a big push now, and it's awesome that they're paying more attention to this kind
of
stuff.
So how long do you feel like that has increased? The last 2, 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, it's like I said, it's a big push.
Okay, good. I like it. Finally, I feel like that's a really good thing. Do you have something to say about that, Mark?
Well, actually, I met Ruben because I helped organize a resiliency panel last May.
Okay.
And we had this email exchange, and he had just gotten back from this training, and it was just really cool to work with him and hear about what he's doing and what others are doing in the military to kind of prepare young people, you know, and give them some tools to help them, you know, process what they might see and what they might experience. And I'm wondering, Ruben, do you think the way you experienced things over there might have been different if you had gone when you were younger?
I think so. I think, you know, being a little bit older that I was, a little bit more ready and to accept it and, you know, just deal with it as it came. Younger, I don't think not so much, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have been ready for it. And I saw it there, you know, when in our first deployment to Iraq, you know, when stuff happens and people get hurt, you know, you see it in people's eyes that, you know, they're kind of, you know, they kind of freak out and it's normal, you know. And then you have those others that are going to, like, just push through it and just acknowledge it later. And I think I fell into that part, especially, you know, during the second tour when it was a little bit worse than the first one. That was when we actually, you know, when we first took our first casualty. And that was my first time experiencing that. So, yeah, you know, if I would have been younger, it probably would have been handled different. But it was just one of those things I had to push to the side and, you know, hey, I'll deal with it later. We still have a mission to do, and that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Which I've heard from other police individuals that You guys do that too. You guys put it in a box, I've heard.
You have
lock
to.
Lock it up.
Yeah.
Put
you know,
it away.
I mean, you don't, you do temporarily. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah, temporarily.
But the old school way, I mean, you know, you hear about vets that come back and they mm-hmm. don't talk about it. And
yeah.
I get that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, or something happens at work. Good example with law enforcement. It's a weird job. It's, if you think about it, it's a real bizarre job
mm-hmm.
because you have life and death decisions and you're dealing with life and death some days, depending on the week or whatever. Then you go home and you got to go shopping and you
yeah.
got to be there for the kids.
Oh
and,
my gosh. Let's
and,
talk about
you
that.
Know,
yeah.
And I think I understand you're a child of a veteran.
Yeah.
And
we are going to talk about
well,
that.
Good, because it's got to be one of the most bizarre jobs
yeah.
because not to take away from what the military
yeah.
does, I mean, it's a, there's some parallels. You know,
mm-hmm.
And it's just a real hard balancing act for law enforcement and their families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard. I had a cop therapist tell me, he says, you know, PTSD is actually effective in the battlefield or in law enforcement. It's terrible for families.
Yes. On our way back, we'll talk more. This is a Positively Healthy Show. This is Dr. Maria Salas. Come on back.
Orchard Nutrition Center's creed is their promise, to offer only the highest quality products that follow strict manufacturing guidelines, because you deserve to live life to the fullest. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition has always believed that we are all in it together, because the food you eat is a lot more than just a daily activity. The things you consume affect every aspect of your life. Orchard Nutrition Center hosts many exciting educational events throughout the year, including seminars each month featuring experts who present the latest information on a variety of health and nutritional topics. The main focus is on helping you understand how your body works and how to live healthy. These seminars are a great way to learn interesting information in person, and there's always an opportunity to ask questions and really get clarification from the experts. Bring your friends and family. Reservations are not required, but seating is limited. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook for seminar schedules, speakers, and topics. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly, local Whole Foods store.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds December 3rd at Elements Lounge inside Wind River Resort and Casino. Join us as we celebrate the holidays with our favorite jazz standards and Christmas songs, starring Pat Karch on keyboards, Bobby Viramontes on drums, Bruce Kalin on bass, and my very special guest, Lou White on sax and flute. That's Romance on the River from 7 to 9 p.m. Dine, dance, enjoy friends, music, and more. December 3rd. Call 243-3377 for reservations. See you there.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio, noon to 2, right here on KCNR 1460.
It'll help you keep up with technology.
Welcome back. This is the Positively Healthy Show. Thanks for joining us. If you do have a question, it's 605-4567. Also, we have the chat room open. Savannah, we'll go ahead and check on that here in just a second. If anyone's been in there asking questions, we still have time left. So I'm in studio today. We're talking about PTSD. I've got Mark Dadigan here with me, and we are talking about events coming up with the Mental Health Resource Fair and different things like that. On our way out, we were talking about PTSD and how it affects family just slightly. All of us have families in here. A lot to talk about with regard to that. First, what I wanted to talk about is, like you had just said, Neil, I mean, literally, you have to be at work in this high intense, Ruben as well, coming back from being deployed, and then all of a sudden you have to be in civilian life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of crossover and... How do you not bring the business home? How do you not bring...
You do. Yeah.
You do? Exactly.
You just don't
there's
talk
no
about
not.
It.
Yeah.
It's a weird transition.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And so that transition can take time. It can take a lot of practice to maybe, I don't know, how do you change behavior so the kids don't get affected?
Well,
oh, yeah. You don't.
You don't talk. You don't
yeah.
talk. You can't share some of the things
yeah.
you deal... You, you know, when someone, when you have a bad arrest or, mm-hmm. you know, when you deal with a body, mm-hmm. you know, or something like that, and not, none of that's pretty. And so, you know, you have to, you kind of, the idea in law enforcement is to, in a way, deal with the things that people really can't deal with. You know, in other words, you deal with stuff so that the public doesn't have to deal with it.
Can I just say, though, yes, you don't want to talk about specific things.
You want to try to protect people from things.
Well, yeah.
You know, you try to protect your family by not talking about it.
And that's not good. Okay, so we're not going to talk about dead bodies. We're not going to talk about things that you saw. But to not talk about it is the worst thing that could possibly be. Because guess what? The behavior is still there, is what I noticed growing up. Okay, because I'm the daughter of a Marine Vietnam era, and the behavior is still there, whether that person knew it or not.
Yeah.
Maybe because they weren't getting help.
Right.
And they, maybe they didn't know about it back then in Vietnam era, about that they, or maybe the help wasn't there. I don't think it was in the military. Definitely not at the VA.
I think we as a society are just learning so much more, and we're getting beyond a lot of stuff now. We're getting beyond the stigma. And if you look at PTSD and you look at a brain scan of someone with PTSD versus somebody who doesn't, it is there. It's actually, in many ways, a very physical ailment, much like a busted leg. Now, you ask a military or cop, you know, hey, man, you got a busted leg. You're going to fix it, right? You're going to get pinned or whatever, and then hurry up and let men go back to work. You bet. When you have something going on in your mind, there's a whole different way of thinking in society. And I'll tell you something. There's self-stigma. I was not convinced I had PTSD. I had to be convinced by my therapist that I had PTSD. Couldn't accept it. My first thought, I wasn't in Iraq. I wasn't overseas. I didn't see somebody blown up. All these excuses for not wanting to deal with it, not wanting to be looked upon as weak. And then your second thought, or even your first thought, I am weak. Why me?
Mm-hmm.
You feel isolated when you're. You know, you feel like something is wrong with you because you were diagnosed with it. When in fact, PTSD is a very normal outcome for certain fields of, you know, careers.
And different levels of it. Sorry, Ruben, go ahead.
Traumatic events.
Yes, exactly. It could be, you know, a woman here that got raped or had been, you know, molested over years. So a lot of people can have different levels of PTSD. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I was also going to talk about car crashes, too. Fatal crashes. We have fighting forest fires can be, very stressful. We have a retired firefighter and EMT in our program. But I think it's what Neil was saying is today we have a lot of very effective treatments for PTSD, and that's also what I also enjoy learning about from Ruben is there's also prevention that can go into.
I'm so happy about hearing that, Ruben. You have no idea.
Yeah, so, and actually there are a few other diagnoses that treatment is still kind of more, it's more difficult, I guess, to suss out what someone needs, but with PTSD, there's a lot of effective therapies out there.
So if somebody's out there listening and their person, whoever it is, doesn't talk about it but is still looking like they need help, how can we go about helping them? Where do we send them to or do that soft referral? Because like you said, sometimes people aren't ready to admit it or they don't even think that they could be going through it.
Well, I you know, everybody's got a different take on this. There's so many different places. The beauty of it is in this touchy-feely society, when we sift through a lot of that touchy-feely stuff, we do find some very viable stuff. And so there's a website, it's called emdria.org, and it deals with a certain treatment. It's called EMDR. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's like the tapping. It's different forms. And that is some of the supplemental treatment that I received in addition to therapy. Okay, it's not any one thing that will help you. It's usually a multitude of things, a combination of things that are custom assigned to you, depending on, so you basically, for the person out there that knows somebody, I would research it.
Yeah.
I'd get on Google and I would take a look at it and go from there. Each person with PTSD can be handled a different way, I think.
Well, everyone's going to respond to different things as well.
Yeah. So how do I approach my husband or how do I approach my wife who came back? you know, how, what's the best way? Well, that only they would know that. But the good thing is they know something has to give, that that person does need help. It's up to them, I think, to really figure out to custom make that kind of approach.
It has to be custom for sure.
Sure.
Okay, well, I want to talk more about this because I know that there are a lot of families dealing with this right now. Being a kid, growing up with someone that was dealing with it, there can be a lot of baggage. It's taken me years to kind of, like, sort of turn that around and kind of go, oh, yeah, this person went through a lot. And as a young kid, you don't know. You have no idea. Like, you don't get it, you know. You can't understand the depth and the breadth of war and, you know, how severe it is. So, anyway, we'll talk about more about that when we come back. This is a Positively Healthy Show. You're listening to Dr. Maria Salas.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom.
Join the City of Reading as we turn off our outdoor irrigation. As our serious water crisis continues, the city is facing large fines from the state if we don't meet our mandate. Those recent rains we've been enjoying won't end the drought overnight, but they're enough to let you turn off your sprinklers for the year. The shorter days and cool nights mean you don't need to keep those sprinklers running. You'll save plenty of water and reduce your utility bill at the same time. Check out other water-saving tips at cityofreading.org. Be water wise, water less, and together we'll all get through this.
Carl, it's holiday time, and I feel like a special holiday mocha. Take me to Espresso Joe's Inside Tobacco and Brew right now.
Yeah, and while we're there, let's walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in the North State and find some great cigars for your dad, your brother, and me. Some of the highest-rated cigars by Cigar Aficionado.
That's right, and we can browse and buy special coffee beans, tea accessories, and let's look through the wonderful wine selection. That's 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hop in the truck, hon. Let's go.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, Foreign Affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Welcome back. This is the Positively Healthy Show. I'm Dr. Maria Salas, and we are talking about PTSD today. I have Neil Shaw in studio. I have Ruben Garcia in studio. And thank you, Mark, for inviting these two amazing guys with you today, and thanks for coming in.
Of course.
Yeah. So did you have a question for Ruben?
Yeah, I just thought it would be great to ask Ruben to talk a little bit more about his adjustment after his tours and what that was like.
For the family, especially.
Okay, yeah, well, the first time, my first deployment, you know, I came back and, I think everybody hears it when they come back, that whole, you know, you're not the same person anymore, you've changed, and, you know, you act different now, but... You know, like Neil was saying, you know, you look at yourself and you're just like, I'm the same person, you know, just nothing changed. But it took me a long time to finally realize that, yeah, something had changed. And, you know, I needed to, you know, get myself looked at and really, I guess, focus on what the issues were.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I came back the first time and I like Neil said, you know, you don't talk about stuff because you don't really want to expose, you know, your wife and your kids to all the things that you've seen and whatnot. So that was something I kind of steered away from. I did it once, and I think this is what really turned me off is I was the reaction that I got from it. You know, I was like, here I am, I'm trying to explain to you, you know, this is how I feel, this is what I'm feeling, and this is why. And then it was kind of like a blank stare, you know. So after that happened, it was just like, you know, I don't want to talk to anybody else about it anymore.
Yeah.
Who were the blank stares from?
It was from my wife, and I think And like we were talking about earlier, Maria, you brought up during the break as far as, you know, how families react and they could get a form of PTSD as well. It didn't really, I guess, come into place until way later on. I was really thinking about it, you know, my wife and I, we talked a lot more. She's a strong woman, you know.
She would have to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially when I started thinking about all the things that we went through, you know, being deployed and, you know, first to, you know, Baghdad and Ramadi, two of the worst spots that are in Iraq during the time that I was there. And then, you know, having to, you know, us conversing online or what have you, and then saying, hey, I have to go. I'm not sure how long I'm going to be back or, you know, when I'm going to be back.
Yeah.
I'll let you know. So it really didn't dawn on me until I started thinking about that. Wow. You know,
she's sitting on the edge at home.
Absolutely,
she's sitting on the edge. She's worrying. She's holding down the fort. She still has to work every day here in Lycoming.
Right.
I'm like, I'm going to be her voice right now.
Right.
She was worrying. I mean, that is a lot on somebody.
Yeah.
I didn't have to experience that, but go ahead.
No, you know, it was just when I started thinking about that, I was like, man, that would be rough. You know, how would I feel if, you know, my spouse was over there and then, you know, she tells me, hey, you know, we're going to go on a convoy. Can't tell you whenever we're going to be back, but we'll talk to you soon. And, you know, God, you know, the days that pass and I couldn't imagine.
Well, she's trying to call you, you know, or you guys are trying to communicate or she's trying to communicate with you in a loving, emotional way, yet you're in work mode the whole time.
Absolutely.
Which is a completely different emotion than, you know, someone trying to connect with you in a loving way. And
It's funny that you bring that up because, I talked to my wife about it, too, and she was a little, I don't know the reaction.
Hurt.
Yeah, I guess you could say that because, you know, I told her, you know, when I was over there, I didn't think about her. I didn't think about the kids.
You couldn't.
No.
How can you do your job?
Absolutely. See, and you get it, you know.
Well, I've been there both sides, so
right.
How...
It would be hard to do or, you know, hey, guys, follow me. This is what we got to do. When in the back of my head, you know, I'm thinking about my wife and my kids and, oh, my God, what if something happens to me? You know, what's going to happen to them?
Mm-hmm.
I just had to throw those thoughts out and focus on, you know, what was going on in front of me at the time.
Yeah. Now, at the same time, I almost wish we had a woman in here, military, so we could talk about, you know, maybe it's different with women and men and how men can compartmentalize a little bit, you know.
Because men are from Mars.
You guys.
You know they're going to be thinking different.
Yeah, so, I mean, we don't know, and then personalities are just different. So, I could totally relate to probably what she was going through. But thanks for sharing. And then how old were the kids? Or were they even born yet, maybe? Probably not, huh?
I think I had one at the time.
Okay, so she was busy at home taking care of a kid, too.
Right. So, taking care of the kid and handling the household, you know, holding everything down.
Things.
Right.
Yeah. Doesn't run smoothly
when
you're gone.
No,
yeah, things
not.
Happen. And she has to handle that by herself.
Right. And she told me, you know, she was like... you know, when we started talking about it and I finally came to the realization that, you know, hey, maybe I need to talk to somebody, you know, about everything that happened. There's still stuff she doesn't know that I kind of protect her from.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you know, I opened up to her,
and
especially after the first time, you know, being in Baghdad and coming back. And, you know, I didn't, like Neil said, you know, I didn't think I had an issue. I thought I was fine. And it wasn't until I sat down and...
It's the rest of the world that's messed
up. Yeah, it's everybody else,
it's everybody
not me.
Else.
it wasn't until I was up late one night watching it was a TV documentary. It was on Vietnam. It was like letters.
You guys always do that.
I know.
Why do you do that? You watch all the war shows at night, late at night, when you get all the beta waves coming in, and it's like it all comes back.
It does. And that's what happened. I think it was letters from Vietnam or something to that effect. But it was, you know, reading letters, and I kind of lost it. You know, I was like, I was there by, you know, I was sitting there by myself, and I just kind of like, whoa, you know, it just kind of hit me pretty deep. And, you know, my wife came in, she's like, you know, hey.
She doesn't know how to help
you.
What's going on? She's never seen you like this before.
Maybe that's why they call it post-trauma.
Sure.
Because things come up later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I figured that out.
And it kind of opened my eyes because she was like, she was really worried about me. And she was like, you know, hey, this is the first time, you know, since we've been married that I've seen you, you know, cry.
Yeah.
And I was like, Yeah.
I mean, she can love you as much as she wants, but she's not a psychologist or a counselor or someone that's been through it. How can she relate? How can she help you? The professional experience isn't there for her. So that's when the families need to go, okay, this, I'm not equipped for this. I need to step out of this box and look for help for my loved one. Whether they're maybe ready or not, we'll do it softly.
Right. You know, I think it brings it kind of something came to mind, too, thinking of the military guys and gals and law enforcement. I mean, when somebody's diagnosed with PTSD, you don't start counting bullets and saying, oh, I'm gonna get revenge.
Well, you know, you don't know. Wasn't your experience.
Yeah, well, it wasn't my experience, but generally speaking, that's not the case. That there have been incidents, as you know, and they get widely publicized. But I think, you know, I'm just a layman in this respect. I think that it's a little bit of a misnomer. I think the majority of people are just basically hiding out and becoming isolated,
yeah,
you know, as opposed to being an extrovert with a gun.
Yes, you know? Yes, I agree. Yeah. Plus, they have hearts. You know, they went in for a reason. They're serving their country.
Many people with PTSD just kind of, I talked to one vet in a gun shop, and he said, I just want to go to my cave. I'll never forget it. They just want to hide in their cave.
I get it.
Yeah, that's a man thing.
No.
Yeah, well,
women have caves too.
And that's a big part of what we're trying to do with our program is people do isolate. People who have all kinds of diagnoses feel that they shouldn't be part of society. So we're trying to let people know these issues are normal. And it's a whole different spectrum with these diagnoses. You can have mild to moderate to severe symptoms.
Right.
And not everyone is dangerous by any means.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. So, and because it's the Positively Healthy Show, we like to turn this around like this, laugh a little bit about it as much as we can, turn it around, talk about how we can help, find the solutions out there, and we are going to cut to commercial, our last one. Come on back.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, grocery, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouth.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Hope and I won't let you choke.
Okay, welcome back. This is the Positively Healthy Show, and this is Dr. Maria Salas, Neil Shah, Ruben Garcia, Mark Dadigan in studio with me today, and I'm having fun. I'm learning a lot. This is a great show. I hope a lot of people out there are learning something and kind of getting a different perspective on things. If I think Savannah's checking to see if there are any questions or anything like that in the chat room. She'll let me know, but... a little bit more, Ruben. I think you wanted to.
Yeah, I've heard Ruben talk a couple times about some of the tools and things he does to kind of help him find that comfort level after coming back from his tours. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Okay. So I guess one of the biggest ones right now is my photography. That kind of it relaxes me probably a little bit too much. I like to take my family out on a little staycations. On the weekends we'll go to the mountains and stuff like that. And I like it. I enjoy it. I kind of get that release, and I kind of get I don't want to say time to myself, but time to think. Just kind of like let things go. My family, however, they like it too. They like going out adventures and stuff like that, but I could be taking a picture like of a waterfall or something, and I'll get down in there pretty deep and I'm lost for like 2 hours, and they're up top and they'll be like, come on, Dad, I just want to go home now. It's a little chilly out here. So, that's my biggest one right now. So it's a really nice release for me. So I enjoy it.
And then, you do exercise?
Absolutely.
What do you do for your exercise? Because I know that helps increase endorphins, right?
Uh-huh.
Helps with blood flow, getting blood to your brain, and
right.
Makes you just feel good. What do you do?
I used to run every morning, but I've been doing a little bit of reading, and I've heard that running and then doing weights, the running is going to take away from it. Oh, am I wrong? I don't know.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
but don't stop lifting your weights or running. Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I still love to run. I enjoy it. I have friends who are like, I don't understand you because, you first thing in the morning, that's what I want to do is go out and run. And
but again, that's part of it. That's part of the transition that people that are in civilian world don't understand.
Right.
They don't understand that you're used to that. And that's getting that kind of feel-good chemicals come out first thing in the morning helps the rest of your day.
Oh, yeah.
So it's probably what most people should be doing a little bit more anyway. So good job.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is long distance better for you?
Good job, Ruben.
Every once in a while.
Neil Shaw's going, whatever.
Whatever.
What do you do, Neil?
I was telling them during the break that my exercise is rocking and crying.
Okay.
And then I finish off with what, Mark?
Pizza and beer.
Pizza and beer. And then more shame, rocking, crying. Pizza and it's a pizza and beer Big Mac, basically. So
hey,
recovery tool.
It's different for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. That was a nice retort. Thank you.
Yeah. Everyone's going to respond differently to treatment.
Ruben's my new mentor.
Well, he should be for everybody.
He is.
If I could chime in really quickly, I'd like to point out that one thing we've learned in our project is that, therapy and medication, that stuff can be important. But things like photography or finding that flow activity, whether that's running or painting and even that time to yourself, the kind of meditative time, that can be a big part of healing. And spirituality, too, is just so multifaceted. Dealing with these issues sometimes. It's a lot more multifaceted than, some physical issues where you might just need to take a pill or something.
Yeah, and it's different for everybody. So, like, my dad, he was running marathons. I mean, he was doing a lot of things, and I think that helped him. My whole life, he was in school, so I think staying busy, and he always had a second job, right? So, there was always some, staying busy, I think, helped him. Being in school, learning, reading was my dad's thing. He's still alive. I'm not saying him in past tense, but I don't know what else helped. But there for PTSD doesn't mean like you have this low functioning life
right.
at all.
Right.
My dad is high functioning. Uh-huh. You are very high functioning. A lot of people have got a lot of things going on in their life. It doesn't mean you're just like this stuck, depressed person.
Yeah, I got the honey-do list going on. I just bought a house, a rental property. And,
you got a lot of work ahead of you.
Yeah, and I do paintings.
You better start running.
That's right. I forgot. I do paintings, don't I?
Yes.
They're nude dolphins. Whenever I say it that way, people freak out. But actually, folks, dolphins are nude, so
yeah,
little
I've seen your truck driving around.
Yeah.
You guys, I want to thank you all for coming on the show today. I've had lots of fun. We we're done. Can you believe it? That was like this wormhole, you know, it went by really fast. Neil Shaw, thank you so much for coming on board. Ruben Garcia, thank you. I really appreciate it. Mark Dadigan, we still have 1 minute left. Is there anything you want to plug before we...
Come to Minds Matter, May 14th, 11 a.m. to 2:30 at the downtown atrium and promenade. And if you want to learn more about mental health or find local resources, Google Shasta Network of Care, and you'll find tons of good stuff on there.
Of course, go to Minds Matter. I'm going to be there. HealthWise Chiropractic is going to be there. We're doing chair massage. Come on down. Have fun.
And we're working on a spinoff. Mark's really kind of resisting it, called Mimes Matter.
You're right. And we're very concerned about mimes,
people
right?
Too, Mark. The insensitive.
They suffer from many stereotypes.
Until next week, Positively Healthy Show every Saturday, 10 to 11.
It's KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State. That was a playback of the Positively Healthy Show. Up next is the news.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. In Colorado Springs, yesterday, that's a call police got as they rushed to a Planned Parenthood clinic where the shooting was going on, as aired there courtesy of Broadcastify. Police in Colorado Springs now have a man in custody, and local mayor John Souther says officers who did respond to that call you heard right there saved lives the way they handled their duties.
They were able to get people out of the building safely. And they were able to make sure that the perpetrator was isolated in a place where there could be communication back and forth about where he was.
Nine people were wounded in addition to the three people killed. Among the dead, an officer, 44-year-old Garrett Swayze. President Obama, among the many world leaders scheduled to attend a climate change conference tomorrow in Paris, said he is due to travel tomorrow, as Connie Lawn reports.
The conference is controversial. There will